Our second reading this morning is Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 1 through 13. Hear the word of God. These are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders of the exiles, and to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This was after King Jeconiah and the queen mother, the eunuchs, the officials of Judah and Jerusalem, the craftsmen, and the metal workers had departed from Jerusalem. The letter was sent by the hand of Elasa, the son of Shaphan, and Gemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. It said, "Thus says Yahweh of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat their produce, take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to Yahweh on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. For thus says Yahweh of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are among you deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams that they dream, for it is a lie that they are prophesying to you in my name. I did not send them, declares Yahweh. For thus says Yahweh, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares Yahweh, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and hope. Then you will call upon me and come pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Elder Jordan. Good morning, church. It's a joy to be in the Lord's presence in the last Sunday of the year, and we have several reasons to be grateful and remember God's faithfulness. Let us pray once again. Heavenly Father, we praise you for your word and help us to understand your voice and understand this letter that came from you to your people in times of trouble. And help us to understand in the last Sunday of this year, what is your will and how to discern what you have to your people, the covenant people. This we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
On April 10, 2017, the New York Times published an article entitled "Rude Doctors, Rude Nurses, Rude Patients." The author cited several scientific researches showing that many times when the doctors and nurses are rude to patients, they have a slower recovery. On the other hand, when the patients and also the doctors are rude among themselves, they struggle to make the best decision. Some researches showed that 31% of them made some wrong decisions after to be under pressure or rude treatment. Everyone here, without exception, has experienced the anguish of having someone close to you in your family or even yourself before a doctor when he opens the exam and interprets terms almost entirely foreign for the most of us. We really want a sincere and real and correct diagnosis. But we would appreciate if the diagnosis comes with kindness and love, and we do not want the sad experience of hearing such a diagnosis with coldness, indifference, or pessimism. Bad diagnoses are not only made of our physical condition, they can also report on our emotional, relational, professional, financial, and primarily spiritual lives. How we communicate this lousy condition is not always the best. And I want to look to the Word of God, to this precious Bible passage we read, and understand how God diagnoses the condition of His people and how we can have hope when there is pessimism or also false diagnosis. When we come back to this precious passage, most of us here are familiar with how the Israelites in the book of Judges finally entered in the promised land after 40 years of walking circles in the desert, and the Lord gave them the land. But they were advised they should worship the Lord and not mix themselves with the idols from the other countries, and also put the Lord in the center of the community. All of us know what happened. Throughout the generations, people just forgot the law, forgot God's command, and started to prioritize the land, the financial prosperity, and also were involved with idolatry. The Lord raised prophets. Every single prophet came, advised the people, but regardless the advice, they were indifferent. In the days of the prophet Isaiah, around 740 BC, the year of the death of the king Uzziah, Isaiah received a calling, and he prophesied to the people that they were about to face an exile as a punishment, as a correction from the Lord. And then, after the prophet Jeremiah started his ministry during the exile, in Jeremiah 52, verse 28, we hear that 3,023 people were taken captive from Judah to Babylon in 597 before Christ, including the king Jeconiah and his family, priests and prophets. So that was a time of uncertainty. That generation were expecting receive prosperity in the land the Lord gave to them, and now they were taken to a different country in Babylon. False prophets raised themselves and were prophesying that in 2 years they should return. They had a wrong, optimistic perspective. And now Jeremiah decides to write this letter to God's people who were in Babylon, guiding them. So through this experience, I'd like to share with you what God says to His people in the face of the lies and pessimism of life. And the first truth we can find in this precious Bible passage is God tells us to be careful of misdiagnoses regarding our lives, and diagnoses that ignore His sovereignty. The letter began with an exhortation in verse 4. If you have the Bible passage, you can check. Directing the exiles to seek to live everyday life as normal as possible and to wait in submission for God's deliver them. They were running after some prophets, eagering to hear good things, eagering to hear some messages that would take them back to Jerusalem. But then in verse 4, the Lord just tell them, so live your life normally where you are. And throughout the chapter, we can see how the Lord guides. In the verses 10 to 14, He mentions those who were already in Babylon. And in verses 15 to 19, he mentions those who would soon follow them. Because that was the first group. Two other groups would leave Jerusalem and go to Babylon. So instead of the 3,000 return to Jerusalem, other people in Jerusalem should go captive to Babylon as a work of God in His sovereignty. And the Lord's also facing in verse 20 to 23 the false prophets, and specifically a false prophet named Shemaiah in verse 24. So the effect of this letter on the recipients can easily be imagined. The largest settlement of exiles was near Nippur. It was a kind of a camp. They were waiting for something to happen. And the Lord just said, so leave this camp. Find somewhere to live. Build houses. Have children. Pray for the prosperity of the people who took you captive. So it was a shocking message. Regarding their plans, it was not what they were expecting. Instead of giving it to empty and mystical optimism, they needed to believe that God was controlling such a circumstance, even using a wicked nation like Babylon. God had already warned them through Jeremiah regarding the false prophets. The Lord said, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with bitter food and give them poisoned water to drink. For from the prophets of Jerusalem, ungodliness has gone out into all the land. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. It is common, church, we live as people of God and deny some realities in our lives. Several times many times we are facing troubles and problems like trials God is allowing us to live. But some bad circumstances we face, like the Israelites, are consequence of disobedience and bad choices. That was the case. They disobeyed God and now they face a hard time in a distant land as a way that God was correcting them. Instead of seek false prophets just with self-help messages, they should listen the word of God and try in that moment live in obedience. The obedience that generation neglects now should be applied even in a distant land. They should now obey the Lord and still have hope. Hope not in false message or self-help gospel or in YouTube videos that we can find specialists in everything, anything, trying to guide us how to have the best house, the best job, the best kids, the best husband, the best wife. But the thing is, everyone here has a different life. We are in different stages with singular challenges. Some problems that we face, it's so specific that strangers cannot help us. So God's guidance is just listen to the scripture, listen to His word, and live your life as decent Christians. In that case, in Babylon, yes, they should live there, build homes, and also pray for the prosperity of their oppressors. If we like the government or if we dislike, if we agree or disagree, we live in a broken world, and we as Christians should pray for the nation, pray for our neighbors, even if they are good or bad, and try to raise children. And the Lord says, have children. And may your children get married and have children. This is one sign for hope in the midst of brokenness, when we get married and have children. This is one generation without hope. And we can see by the numbers of children, most of the couples have, they're afraid, they're concerned. It's a dangerous world. But even in the beginning of the creation, the Lord gave us this command, have children. Because we are here as representatives of God. As the Israelites, we're living in Babylon, bearing testimony. Even in times of correction, the Lord is saying, have children and trust in my sovereign plan. So these, we can apply to our lives today that are many things that we disagree, and when we look back to 2024, things that we would love to be different. And when we project 2025, sometimes it's hard to be optimistic. But if we trust that God is sovereign, we will live our lives, raise our children, and serve the Lord with faithfulness, trusting that He will take care of everything. But secondly, when we look to this Bible passage, we learn that the Lord reminds us that He has established the time and specific details of each experience. In verses 10 and 11, we find that the false prophets in Babylon, who did not yet understand God's will for Judah, were seducing the exiles, just as they had done before 597 BC. In the verses 15 to 19, we see a call to the people to stop their self-deception. Since those in Jerusalem had failed to learn the lesson the Lord was still teaching them, the first group went to Babylon. Some stayed, but they didn't repent. So a new group was about to come. The Lord is saying, live your life, abandon the false prophets, the false hope, and live in my presence. Jeremiah again predicts that the captivity will last 70 years. The false prophets were saying that would last 2 years. Jeremiah said, nope, 70. It means that most of the people who left Jerusalem would never return to Jerusalem. But the Lord is encouraging them. The Lord is saying, I have promises to you. But this is a multi-generational promise. The Lord is dealing with the covenantal people. The Lord is talking to His people, not just regarding one generation. The Lord is talking to His people regarding the next generations until Christ comes. So when we look to our lives, we need to understand that regardless the small things that happen in our lives, different of the plans we made, the Lord is still in control, guiding not just our story, but the story of our children and grandchildren. So this is the main purpose that we exist here as a body of Christ, as church in this community, is living our lives with wisdom and plenty, but mainly just sharing all the hope we have in the sovereign God, in guiding His people in the mission He gave and preparing them. just 70 years. And by the way, 70 years was the time that the other cultures believed a god should take to repent of the punishment he was displaying upon a specific people. Would take a little bit more or less, but that was the perfect time. So, our God decides that the captive should last 70 years. The Lord is saying, live your lives, but trust, I am in control. I have plans to you to prosper. I have plans to you to accomplish everything I decided. Probably you have a list of what you accomplished in 2024 and what you would love to have in 2025. Raise this list before the Lord and say, Lord, my main priority is understand your will and be a blessing in your kingdom, understanding that everything has a specific time. Like we read in Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 through 8. For everything, there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones. A time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embrace. A time to seek and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to dare and a time to sue. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. When warning us about the danger of anxiety, the Lord Jesus said that even the hairs of our head are numbered, and therefore we should not fear those who can only take our lives. Instead, we should fear the one who controls our eternal destiny. He's the Lord of time and the events of our history. Therefore, if we live days of glory and harvest, rejoice in the Lord, but remember, the good days pass in this earth. But if we are facing, and maybe you face it, the worst year of your life, you have to be encouraged. This bad time will pass, and the Lord has still good things to do through His people until we are here. There are fruits, not just in our specific lives, but through our lives. So, how are your anxiety and worry regarding the new year just around the corner? How have you dealt with this feeling? Stop listening to sensationalist messages about the new government, the economy, and geopolitics, and take time daily to read scripture, especially passages that speak about God's sovereignty. Pray those Bible verses and ask the Holy Spirit to bring peace to your heart and just live every day, trusting in the light and delighting in the Lord. Even knowing that here is not our final destination, we are called to pray for the land and God called us to live and raise children, as I said. This is a cultural discipleship and a clear sign of hope in the Lord. So, for 2025, decide to invest more time in your children. If they are adults, try to build some time with them. If you have grandchildren, try to bring them to the church and talk about God and teach God's way. Maybe they will harvest fruits that you were never able to harvest. And finally, God reaffirms his commitment to provide for and restore those with whom he has a covenant relationship. This is what he says in verses 12 through 14. This was God's purpose for the lesson. It was applying to every nation. It was to move the hearts of his people back to him, making them abandon their idolatry for the land and putting the Lord back at the center of their lives. In verses 12 through 14 of Jeremiah 24, we are reminded what was said in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 3 through 5. Then the Lord your God will restore your fortress and have mercy on you, and he will gather you again from all the peoples where the Lord your God has scattered you. Notice, this is not a promise just for Israel. They were in Babylon, but now the Lord is promising gathering them from every nation. This promise also points to our final destination, the New Jerusalem. As we are living here, building our lives, rejoicing, raising our children, just planting and harvesting and trying to represent God's kingdom in the best way, we should be remembered. God has a promise. He began a good work in our lives, and he will complete. This is one of the most precious doctrines and covenants, the perseverance of the saints. We have a promise. Even when we face our inconsistency and the problems that we face in our children or grandchildren, God began a good work in your family, and he will complete. We should live with this hope in our hearts that one day the Lord will come back and give us a wonderful, perfect land without any corruption, without any deceit. But until that day, let's live with hope today. If the economy goes away or just gets worse, the Lord will provide for his people. If we face sickness, he is still our good doctor. He will take care and give us grace to go through all the diseases. If we face any problem or persecution, he will protect his church. At the beginning of this message, we discussed the mistaken of gross diagnosis many health professionals make during difficult moments of lives. We must remember that many of these professionals work under huge pressure. They have no control of their patients. But our great doctor, he's sovereign. He controls history. He controls every single detail, not just of your life who belongs to him, but he controls even our bad neighbor, bad governments, bad people, bad nations. He is the Lord of the hosts. And as a God of hosts, we must trust him as he has accomplished his great work. And remember the words the Lord said through the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 31. And what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Jesus Christ is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you ask me, or Pastor Dan, as prophets, to make any prediction about your 2025, we can clearly say, we have no idea. But I can assure you one thing. The Good Shepherd will take care of every single detail. Don't be anxious. Don't be afraid. Don't run after some specialists willing to deceive you and take your money. Share your life with your church family. Share your heart with the people who are growing together, that you know them, and those people will help you to discern the problems and in God's word find the right answer and grow as disciples and watch our children loving God more and more. And we will have success if at the end of 2025 we see our children and our youth loving the Lord more and attracting more unchurched people to the kingdom of God. May the Lord bless us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for your word and for the privilege to be in your presence in this sanctuary as a church family. We praise you for our pastor, his dedication. We praise you for our session, for all leaders, all the deacons, all small group leaders. We praise you for your people who labor here in this congregation. We face, Lord, hard moments, but we also harvested great things in your presence. And now, in this moment where uncertainty and sometimes deceiving diagnoses are present to us regarding the next year, we just raise 2025 before you and we say that we're going to rest in your sovereignty. Help us to be every day even more and more a missional church, a community of disciple makers. Help us to be intentional and raise our children and grandchildren in your presence and teach them through example, and also supporting our local church family. Give us, Lord, intentionality to grow together and just live in your presence, being good people in our neighborhood who share the good news of salvation, the covenantal people. This we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.